Well, we're in John chapter 14, probably one of those most famous verses that comes up in John 14, 6, one we've heard many, many times. But I just want to talk about the way home today, the way home. You know, you ever been on a journey and you just can't wait to get home? And you might have slept in 20 different beds, but there's no bed like your own bed. There's a place that you want to be able to call home. And sometimes, you know, you feel like it's good to get away. But boy, it's good to be home, isn't it? And thank God that there is a home, that we have homes. A lot of people don't have homes. They don't have a place to call home. And Jesus was talking to his disciples. And as he was talking to them, he gave them some disturbing news. We saw that in John chapter 13. Remember, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you'll follow me afterwards." So Peter starts thinking, I've been following this guy for 3 years, and suddenly he says, I'm not going to be able to follow him anymore, maybe later on. Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Now Jesus had been telling them he was going to be crucified. He went through all of that with them many times. But Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, before the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. So here he says to Peter, "Peter, you're going to fail. And you're going to fail not once, not twice, but 3 times. So I can you imagine Peter hearing those words when he just said, "I'll lay down my life for you"? No, you won't, Peter. You're going to deny me 3 times. And speaking to the other disciples, "One of you is going to betray me." And then speaking about the fact that, you know, "This is my body broken for you," as he had done at the Last Supper, which isn't recorded in the Gospel of John. So all these things were happening, and the disciples must have been just, they were just seemed to be getting hit from one side, from the other. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus says this to them, "Don't let your heart be troubled." What? "Don't let my heart be troubled? You just told me I'm going to betray you 3 times. Don't let my heart be troubled. You say I'm not going to be able to be with you anymore. Don't let my heart be troubled." Wow. This is like everything. We've given everything to follow you, Jesus, and you're saying you're going to leave us? And what they had come to be was at home with Jesus. They had come to discover that Jesus was their real home. They had come to discover that being with Jesus was more important than anything else in their lives. More important, so much so that they were willing to declare, "I'll lay down my life for you." They saw the value of the Lord Jesus, and they didn't want to lose him. Oh, they desperately didn't want to lose him. But Jesus says, "Listen, I'm going to have to go, but don't let your heart be troubled." Because it's a wonderful truth that God gives to us. When we're true believers in Jesus Christ, we will never lose Christ, and he will never lose us. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Because your heart becomes the home of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible speaks, in as Paul was writing to the Christians in Ephesians chapter 3, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That means that Christ makes himself at home in your heart. Wonderful, isn't it? So your heart becomes the home of Jesus Christ, but Christ becomes your home. So that Jesus said, "Wherever I am, that's where my servant will be." That is what God offers us in the Lord Jesus Christ. A permanent place. A place of stability. All through the Bible it talks about him being, God being our rock. Our steadfast one. Our anchor, it says in the New Testament, that he's an anchor for the soul. Steadfast and sure. And so It's wonderful to have a home base, some place to be able to come home to be able to say, "Hey, I can relax here. This is my home." And I want you to know that already Jesus Christ has made himself your home. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you're outside of it. You're looking in through the glass. And you may be looking in with longing, but you don't have to look in with longing for long. You just have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then he becomes your home, and you become his home. Well, but we here, the Bible says, we have no permanent dwelling place. Here, we're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're passing through. And that even though we have Christ here, there is not the final home. This isn't the end of the story. There is a time coming when we will be finally home. And every Christian grace, every bit of mercy that you receive, every sense of the love of God and the presence of God, every time you open the Word of God and you're touched and you're lifted and your voice begins to praise or your heart begins to praise God, these are glimpses of heaven. These are touches of what heaven is going to be like when God touches you. When heaven meets earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we discover that heaven has begun below. We used to sing a chorus called Heaven is in My Heart. And so these are tastes of heaven, but the fullness of it, the absolute surroundness of it, the absolute comfort of home, we have not got it yet. We can enjoy Him, though, my friends, and we don't want to miss any of that. But, oh, there is coming a day, there is coming a time when we will be all the way home. So Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Now notice what He says here. There are lots of people who believe in God, but He says that is not enough. You believe in God. That's okay, but believe also in Me. Trust in Me, because He is God in the flesh. Most of them didn't understand that. They were only coming to grasp the reality of who Jesus really was. But we have the privilege of knowing this, that to put your trust in Jesus Christ is to put your trust in God. You believe in God, He said, believe also in Me. Make sure your trust is in Me. No one could make those kinds of claims if He was not God Himself. And so He invites them to this faith, this place of faith. The way home is by faith, right? The way home is by believing. It is by faith. And then He says, now, in My Father's house are many mansions or many rooms, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So now, remember Jesus in John 13 was saying, I'm going away. And I have to leave, and you can't come with Me now, but I will come and you'll be with Me later. So now He says, here's why I'm going. I'm going to My Father's house. Where's that? That's heaven. I'm going to be with the Father. And He said, there are many rooms there, many places for living. And if it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm not telling you any lies. That's what He says, right? And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. Now, how was Jesus going to prepare a place for us in heaven? How's He going to do that? Oh, it's her foot. Quick, the table on the bottom. Was it on her toe? How can they manage to do it, eh? Are you okay? Oh, yeah. She bounced back pretty quick. Rubber head, rubber heart, rubber feet. Oh. Okay. So, how does Jesus prepare a place for us? Well, the first way that He prepares a place for us is that in order to prepare a place for us, He has to go to the cross. Those rooms would all stay empty. There would not be one shout of glory from heaven. There would not be one word of praise to God if He had not gone to prepare a place for us. He had to go first to the cross. The cross first, the crown afterwards. So in order for Jesus to prepare a place for us, He had to go to the cross. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I believe that the first thing that He was going to was the cross. I believe that's what He was saying here. I am going to prepare a place for you. And then He says, I'll come again. So He says, I'm going to the cross to prepare a place for you. But further, more than that, I'm going to glory to prepare a place for you. He is for us and not against us. Ambrose, I think he built most of his house, your guy's house, didn't you? Yeah. You built your own home. There's something about building your own home, isn't there? Now, I know I can't speak for that because I didn't build my own home. And if I had, it wouldn't look like your house. I'm afraid there'd be holes in the walls and there would be wind blowing through a lot more than it is and all that kind of stuff. But you built your own home. You prepared a place for your family. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. And Jesus considers you family. And he was a carpenter's son, wasn't he? So he knew what it was to build. And so he says, I'm going to build a place for you. So he almost looks like he's referring to his carpenter days here. But what he's saying, I'm going to go there and I am going to prepare a place. I am your servant. I am your servant to the cross, but I am also your servant when I'm in heaven. I'm going there and I'm preparing a place just for you. A place that suits you. A place that fits you, who you are. Now, we might just be thinking in physical and earthly terms here because that's all we can maybe relate to. But we need to understand that he's preparing a place for your souls. He's preparing a place where you are going to be in absolutely exactly what you were meant to be, where sin no longer mars, where there is no interference of any of that kind of thing whatsoever. Jesus is preparing a glorious place for his people. It is awesome. It is wondrous. We get glimpses of heaven here, and those glimpses, oh, how they stir our souls. When suddenly we feel the Spirit of God touching us, when we open the Word of God and it speaks to us, when we're suddenly we want to praise Him and worship Him more than anything else, those are glimpses of heaven, but oh, the glory of it. No more seeing through a cloud, seeing through darkly, through a glass darkly, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, now we see through a glass darkly. We don't see it quite all the way, but then we shall see face to face. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Wonderful.
Also in that, he was preparing the way for the Holy Spirit to come in.
Absolutely. He was doing everything that needed to be done to take care of us here through the cross and the person of the Holy Spirit. Good point. And everything for what happens afterwards. Full provision. This is the servant heart of Jesus Christ to you. Now, he wasn't just speaking to the disciples. This was given by the Holy Spirit so that we do not have to have troubled hearts. Now, let's go back to the first word and think about it for a minute. Let not your heart be troubled. That's a good word. Don't be troubled. Are you often troubled? Let not your heart be troubled. This is the words of Jesus. You trust in God. Listen, trust in me. Is he not big enough for every care? Is he not enough for every problem? Is he not enough for every possible future scenario that you imagine in your mind? Is he not enough? Let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow yourself to be troubled over these things. Instead, recognize who your God is and what his provision is for you. Full provision. He said, you don't have to be afraid. I'm going, but I'm coming back. And, you know, if he's been working on heaven a long time. So it must be pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
He can make things happen pretty fast.
Yeah, he can. Of course he can. Yeah. And he says this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and I'm going to receive you to myself. These are his promises. This is what he has to say. If I go, you know I'm coming back. And so that where I am, there you may be also. If you took Jesus out of heaven, there wouldn't be any heaven. He is heaven. That is why we can say, I have Christ now, heaven has begun below. But the fullness of heaven will be where there will be an unhindered, consistent, always away from the presence of all sin in the presence of Jesus Christ. What a place to be. Yes, it's going to be a glorious day, and it's not going to be long. It won't be long. It doesn't take long to live, and it doesn't take long to die. But oh, how wonderful it is that Jesus offers this to us. And he says, where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Now that stirred some questions. Because they weren't thinking in these terms. They weren't figuring out what was happening here. So Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going and how can we know the way? You're confusing us, Lord. We don't want you to leave us. Where are you going, Lord? And how are we going to know the way for it? The great question was asked. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now they already know that the Father was in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. They already knew the Father was in heaven, right? And so now he says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Suddenly they realize he's talking about heaven. He's talking about going to be with the Father. And Thomas says two questions here. We don't know where you're going, and we don't know, and how can we know the way? The two statements that he makes here. We don't know where, and we don't know how. Where and how? You know, many people I've asked them, where are you going to spend eternity? I don't know. Well, I hope to get to heaven. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go there. Well, how then are you going to get there? Well, I'm a pretty good person. I try really hard. Or, you know, I go to church. I pray. Sometimes I read the Bible. I try to be nice to my neighbor. All those answers are not the answer that Jesus gave. You think you're going to get to heaven by being a good person? You won't. You think you're going to get to heaven by trying your best? You won't. Jesus said, I am the way. You see, if you could get to heaven by any other means, do you think that Jesus would have had to make the way? Do you think he would have had to become the way? Do you think he would have had to go to a cross and open the doorways to heaven for the human race? Oh, what Jesus did to prepare a place for us. Oh, what he did in going to the cross so that heaven's doors could be swung open wide to lost sinners is an incredible act of God. It's a wonderful thing. And what he did there, no wonder he can say without any question, I am the way. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. That's what he said. I am the door. I am the way. Now, you know, I know you've probably seen this before. He doesn't say, I am a way, a truth, and a life. The definite article is here. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so first he says, I'm the way. If you want to get to the Father, you got to come through me. Very clear, right? I'm the way. There's no other way. There isn't any other way. It doesn't matter how many ideas you come up with. Well, what about all these people that never heard? Tell them then. Tell them. Tell them because Jesus is the way. And he says, I am the truth. That is, whatever comes from him is truth, but he is truth personified. Everything about Jesus is true. And when you think of truth, you think of reliability, don't you? You know, you can count on that person's word. You trust? Yeah. Somebody who is truthful, someone who is true, someone who is faithful, that all talks about Jesus Christ. He's the way, but it wouldn't be enough if he was just the way, but he wasn't the truth. Because if he was the way, you might not find him. If he was the way, he might let you down. He might say, okay, I'm the way, but I'm not letting you in because I've changed my mind. I've decided to reverse what I said before. I'm not going to do it the way I said. But no, he's the truth too. So the way and the truth go together, don't they? Without the truth, we wouldn't have a way. But when we have the way and the truth, boy, we have something to cling to. We have a faithful God, a Jesus who will never, never, never go back on his word when he says, whoever believes on me has everlasting life. You have it. And you have it for time, and you have it for eternity. I am the way, I am the truth, he says. And furthermore, he goes further to say, and I'm the life too. I am the life. When he says, I am the life, what is he saying? I am the life. Okay, he actually is. In John chapter 1, it says, he lights every man that comes into the world. He created the whole of the human race. Every source of life comes from Jesus Christ. Yeah.
14:7, the second to last, it says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him, because he was God. You know?
Yes.
Now, Philip, right after that, it says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Was he a little slow in learning?
He sure was. Joe, you have this penchant of reading ahead. We didn't get to those verses yet. But that's okay. Let's deal with the top where we are right now, right? I am the life first, and we'll get to that. That's good. What's that? Yeah, I am the life. Okay, Jesus is life. He is the breath of life. Do you remember when Adam was in the garden? What did God do? He breathed on him and he became a living soul. Who breathed on him? Was it the Father? Was it the Son? Or was it the Holy Spirit? You think it was the Father? They were all there. But listen carefully. Jesus, it says in the Bible, without Jesus Christ, there was nothing made that was made. Jesus was there in the Old Testament before he was ever born here on earth because he was with the Father for eternity before. It was, what's that? Everything came into being by Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there's not anything made that was made. He was the creator of Adam in the dust of the earth. He was doing it under the Father, with the Father and the Spirit. But then he breathed on him the breath of life. And if you want to know something, if you look, later on we'll find this in the Gospel of John. At one point, Jesus breathes on the disciples. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is a resurrected Jesus. And there we can see a picture again. The one who breathed in the beginning on Adam now breathes on the new creation and says, "Receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life." And we have this life of God. Jesus gives us life. He is the life, so he is the one who can impart life. He is the creator of life. And he says, "I am life. I am the life." And so there we find the source of all life is in Jesus Christ. The fountain of life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, if he is this much life, when he says, "I am the way, there's only one way through me. I am the life, you can depend, the truth, you can depend upon me, absolutely." Then he says, "I am the life." Then we have our eye on life, not death. So then death has no more sting. So then the grave has no more victory because Jesus is the life. Because Jesus said to Martha, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Because death has been conquered. Praise the Lord. Because we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the life. So that
I am the resurrection and the life.
That's right.
And he who dies will live again too.
Yes.
That's why he put
both of them there. Yeah, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's what he promises. And whoever dies shall never, it just won't happen. Because you have eternal life. It doesn't matter what happens to you, you have eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. He is the life. He is the life. Look and live. How did I get saved? I looked to the cross and I lived. How will I live? I look to the Christ and live. I look and live, and you can look and live every day. No wonder he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled." He's got all the bases covered, right? If your heart's troubled, you're not looking. And if you're not looking, you're not seeing how much Jesus really is for you. You know, he's not only the way to heaven, he's the way in every circumstance. He is the way in guiding you through every minefield on earth. He is the way. He is the truth in that I can know what is true and what is false. I can have discernment when I can look into the Word of God and the Spirit of God teaches me and shows me the truth so that I'm not walking in lies, so I'm not being deceived. He is the life in that he gives his life now. The Bible says whoever believes in him has eternal life. You have it now. Oh, Jesus has swung open heaven's doors and the blessings of heaven are flowing to earth right now. The blessings of the way, the blessings of the truth, the blessings of the life are all in Jesus Christ and they are here and they are part of us now. The glory of all of this is that we have the way to the Father. Now, listen, it's not just for going to heaven. I have access to the Father now. I have the way to the Father. I have the truth. I have the life. I have all of this union with God through Jesus Christ. He has established this. He has made it so and it cannot be broken. For his people. That's what I have. And on top of all of that, he's going to take me home at the end of the journey. And those things will be magnified and magnified to us as we see the fullness of them. So he says, John 14:7, Joe mentioned the verse already. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you have seen him. He said, if you know me, you know who? The Father. And he says, not only you know him, but now you know him and you have seen him. The book of Hebrews chapter 1 says he is the very express image of the person of the Father. In every way, he's exactly like the Father. In every way. If you see Jesus, you see the Father. You see Jesus, you see God. That's how big and wonderful and awesome Jesus Christ is. Philip's confused. He said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it'll be enough for us. Like Joe said, was he kind of sleepy or what? You know, didn't you get the message? What does Jesus say then to Philip? He said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Is he not making himself plain?
Yes.
Is he not revealing who he is to his disciples? Is there any...
See the whole story.
No.
Like we do.
No, we probably would be just as dense.
And we're dense now.
It's easy for us to be looking back. Because look how dense we can be. How often we are not trusting. How often we are not believing on him. How often we have troubled hearts. And we are not trusting in Jesus Christ. And resting in his grace and in his mercy in every circumstance of life. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So he challenges them. He says, don't you understand who I am? That I am in the Father and the Father is in me? That we are one? I'm not speaking for my own authority, and I'm not doing these works on my own authority. The Father's doing these works. So I am God, is what he's telling them. And I am God by what I have said and by what I have done. And if you're doubting me, that I'm not in the Father and the Father in me, at least you can believe because of the very work's sakes. This is after 3 years of ministry. This is coming to the close of Jesus' ministry. And they had seen everything that he had done. And he said, how could you doubt that I am who I say I am? You can trust me. Now, you may be early on the journey of your Christian life. But as early as you are, you've already seen answer to prayer. You've already seen what the presence of God can do in a life. You've already experienced the touch of the Master's hand. Enough, first to save your soul, and secondly, to assure your soul, to give you a blessed assurance that all is well when you trust in Jesus Christ. This is the Lord Jesus. This is the one who bridges heaven and earth, who opens up this pathway into the glories of heaven, and who brings heaven to earth now. Who brings the blessing of God down as he also eventually takes us up. So that we are not just thinking about when we get to heaven. We are thinking and resting and believing now. This is what he wanted them to do. Believe now, he says. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe also, you believe in God, believe also in me. Trust me now. Trust me, I have things well in hand now. When all hell breaks loose around you, Jesus is still on the throne. He's still the way. He's still the truth in the middle of that. And he's still the life for that. We can still find our way forward because Jesus is that very way. Walk in the Spirit, the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is still the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And if you want access to the Father at any time, under every circumstance, it's always there in Jesus Christ. Access now and eternity later. Full provision in absolutely every single way possible has been offered to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has proven it by his life, by his teaching, and by his miracles that he has done. Believe. You see the word believe? Do you see the word believe here? Let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And then we see here, as he enjoins again, as he encourages again, John 14:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father in me? And then he says in John 14:11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. It is the central theme of the Bible is for you to believe in Jesus Christ. Believe. All through. You will find the Gospel of John a treasure. Here's a challenge for you. Pick up the Gospel of John and read every time the word believe is used. You will find it so frequently, almost in every chapter, and it will blow you away. Yes?
Is this before the Transfiguration?
No. This is after the Transfiguration. Well after.
Well, at the Transfiguration, we heard from the Father.
That's right.
Directly.
Yes. Yes.
Listen to
it. Hear him.
That's the 11th commandment.
Okay. All right.
You have to listen to Jesus.
Absolutely. In every way. Yes, the Father has spoke from heaven, and the Father confirmed what he spoke by the miracles that happened with Jesus Christ. So we are invited into this wonderful place of trusting God. It's so simple. Trust God. Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in him. He'll get you home. He'll get you all the way home. You want to go home? He'll get you there. And I praise God that he will. I thank God there is a home waiting for us. And Lord, we give you the praise tonight that Jesus Christ, you have prepared a place for us. Thank you, Lord. Praise you that we have a hope beyond this world. Praise you, we have a hope for ourselves and a hope for our loved ones and a hope for our neighbors, Lord. And praise you that we can point people to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We know there's no other way. We know there are many false teachers in the world. We know there are many who are saying they are the way, or this is the way, or that is the way. But all the while, we thank you that, Lord Jesus, you are shining brightly. We praise you, O God, that you stand above all the wrecks of time. We praise you, Lord, that the teachers and false teachers have come and they have gone, but the word of the Lord has stood that test of time, and there's still a declaration that goes out to this broken world that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. You know, this morning we looked at the passage, and if you haven't listened yet, we haven't listened to it yet because it's not up online, but it will be probably by tonight. No, my internet is still down, so whenever it gets back up, I will post a message this morning where Jesus stood in Nazareth and he declared to those people that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. And he has come for these purposes, to set at liberty those who are bruised. He has come to bring freedom to people. He begins his ministry announcing all that he can do for broken and ruined and people in this world. And praise the Lord, as he comes on the way out of it, he is still saying, come to me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'll take you in. I'll take you all the way through this world, and I'll take you all the way into heaven. We're going to get home someday. But listen, be at home as much as possible. Be at home with Jesus right now. Be at home with him. Don't be at home with the world, but be at home with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a resting place that is. What a place where I can relax. I can say, God has things in hand here. And I don't have to live in a life of panic and a life of fear and a life of bondage, because I have Jesus Christ. This wonderful Jesus who has come to take us home. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Praise you that we can trust in you. Oh God. Lord, just let us abandon ourselves to you afresh tonight. Let us trust you more than we ever have. Let us give ourselves away into your care, knowing that you're a good and faithful God. And you're big enough, strong enough, able enough, faithful enough to get us all safely home. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.